much as possible, less settled down, moving around. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for the privilege that we have to share your word. We recognize that it's the word of the living God, and we're inadequate in ourselves to do anything with it. So Father, I ask you for fresh mercy, that Lord, as we come to share your word, you will, Lord, grant me fresh unction, Lord, fresh grace upon my heart and upon my lips, so that Lord, your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it be a word of life, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds to be more illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, including my own, in the name of Jesus. That as your word goes forth, Lord, it will do an internal, eternal work that will cause your name to be glorified in Jesus' name. Lord, I further ask that, Lord, as I share your word, you help me to be concise, help me to be precise, help me not to say unnecessary things, but Lord, make my mouth, make me an oracle of God, so I will speak as you direct me to speak in the name of Jesus. Let your power follow these words, that it will do an internal work, causing yokes to be broken, blind eyes to be opened, deaf ears to be unstopped, and lifting us up closer and deeper into the jubilee that you've prepared for us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers. I ask, Lord, that as I submit in my heart, Lord, let the grace upon both Pastor and Mommy, let it rest upon me. Help me to share this word beyond my natural ability, so that, Lord, glory will go to your name. Blessing and edification will come unto us, the sons of men. Make me a scribe, instructors unto the kingdom, bringing out of the treasure of your word things both old and new. In Jesus' name, amen. Praying on the book of Colossians, and we're in Colossians chapter 1. The last time we were here, we were looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. And we saw in our last lesson the vital importance on feeding on the whole counsel of God. The Bible talks about in Acts 20:32 about the whole counsel of God, which is the balanced word of God. And we mentioned then that it is important that we feed on the balanced word of God and not have particular preferential areas, you know, where we focus on and major on, that the whole word of God is inspired. Amen. And that is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that we might be perfect, and thoroughly equipped unto the good work that God has called us to do. And so we said that, it's you really can't do it, with just a part of the word of God. Otherwise, you end up being skewed. So the balanced word brings balanced growth. And once you take out a part of the word, it no longer becomes the word of God. It now becomes another gospel. We said that, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is balanced. And so we looked at that and we said that this is the word of the truth of the gospel for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Now we looked at that hope in detail. And just to recap, we said that that hope was twofold. It was both the hope of Christ in us, the hope of glory. The hope of perfection, of the fullness of Christ. When you read the word, God imparts that hope into your heart. Like Pastor taught us a while ago, hope is what love desires to give you. So hope is a desire that God has for us. Faith creates that hope, and then love gives it. Amen. It's a beautiful, it's indelible. When Father said, it just sticks in your heart. Hope desires, faith creates, love gives. So that hope is a picture. It pulls you. There's a pull into the holiest of all from God onto each and every one of us to come up hither, to become like Jesus Christ. So we said that hope, it now sets you on the path of our destiny. And we said our destiny, is not becoming a successful businessman. It's not success in this life. Bible says, if in this life alone we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So our hope is not physical merely. Our hope is actually spiritual. Our inheritance is in God. Amen. All right. And we also said that the other part of that hope is the hope of the resurrection. And that hope of the resurrection is crucial, you know, because it's an armor. It enables us to see beyond this life and to live for an eternal reward. Amen. So you do your spiritual accounting is balanced. When you are balancing your ledger as an accountant, you don't balance only things in a particular area. You balance both sides, both the credit and the debit. The same thing when you're balancing your life as a Christian, when you're looking at what is my life all about. There is the eternal and there is the temporal. It's very important and it must be balanced. It must be balanced. So you need that whole counsel of God for us to be able to have that hope, which sets us on the path of our destiny and keeps us insulated. It's like it is the anchor for our soul. It keeps you rooted on the. So when the winds blow and the storm comes, you remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. We also saw that it's very important for us to submit to the Word of God, even when we don't understand. And that's very important, you know, particularly when, well, not just the Word of God, instructions from spiritual oversight that are in line with God's Word. No, and this is important because that is what humility is. Humility is submitting to the will of God, even when you don't feel like it. Your understanding is not necessarily important. What is important is the fact that this is the Word of God. This is instruction that is in line with the Word of God. And no matter how I feel, I submit to it. That is humility. And it attracts the grace of God. That grace then gives us life. And in that life is the light of revelation. Amen. So when you didn't, even though you don't understand initially, understanding comes through the light that God now gives you. And then you now see it the way God sees it, you know, and that enables you to act upon it and you now bring forth fruit. Amen. And that fruit is key, because when you bring forth fruit, you recognize it is a notable work. You can't deny it. Other people may not know, but you know the change that is taking place on the inside. Bible says, he that overcometh, I will give him, he will eat of the tree of life. I will give him a white stone. Nobody knows what you are going to, but you know. You can see the light. You can see your character changing. You can see things happening. You can see yourself becoming rooted, fixed. You become a pillar. And these are, so we said that, you know, this is our reward. Our reward is not physical things. Our reward is, if you look at Revelation 2 and 3, you know, that is the reward that God has prepared for us, you know, and we're going to get it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the fruit is important because, you know, that's what God has ordained us to do. And it also helps us to recognize faithful spiritual oversight. When you know the word that impacted your life, you know the person that shared it with you. Amen. And you see them the way God sees them. Because the devil does that. You know, he tries to make, the Bible says, Satan appears as an angel of light. You know, so he tries to discredit faithful spiritual oversight. You know, and magnify, those that are in error. But God has corrected that, amen, and continues to correct it. And begins now, this is the season where he begins to magnify those who have been faithful to him, amen. We have come to a season of distinction, a time of recompense, amen. Okay, and so we're going to see, so this is important. So, of course, we obtain this revelation that we said by meekness and lowliness of heart, which is the word that God is sharing with us, a pure motive, you know, praying in the Spirit, and in travail, and then of course Bible reading and feeling on the apostolic word of God. That allows us to grow, and as we grow, you know, we increase both in capacity and we increase both in wisdom, and that allows us to be able to follow, you know, by practice the fathers that are going ahead of us. We're now looking at verse 8 to 11. So let's read Colossians chapter 1 verse 8. Let's read it together. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Next verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Next verse. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Next verse. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Amen. We're trusting God to take us through, and we see what God does for us as we share the word today. Amen. Now, in verse 8, you can see, let's go back to verse 8, thank you. He says, who also, talking about him, let's look at verse 7, so we have an understanding of what, who he's talking about. As he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. It's important to see that Epaphras is described as a faithful minister of Christ. Not ministering about Christ, ministering Christ. Very big difference. He has not just the talk, he has the life to back the talk. And that is what faithful ministry is about. It is about a life laid down. So when the words are spoken, they are words of life. That's why the Bible talks about the fact that we have many instructors but few fathers. Fathers have laid down their lives. And he was telling the Colossian Christians, you know, Apostle Paul was telling them that this Epaphras is our dear fellow servant, and to you he is a faithful minister of Christ, ministering Christ, both by example and by precept. Now we now see that mature spiritual oversight in verse 8, which is what you say. Let's go to verse 8 quickly. Declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And it's a very important point here. Mature oversight, they know when you're growing. They know when you're bringing forth fruit. They know fruit when they see it. And they also know when there's an absence of it. So when they talk, it's not because they want to talk. It's because they see something missing. And it's a blind side. You may not know. You may not see. So many times they see. They know what is required. Why do they do that? Because obviously they've gone that way before. And they're ahead of you on that road. And so it's easy for them to say, no, that's not how it's done. This is wrong. And so Epaphras was able to detect that, look, they are growing. They are increasing in the love of God. And that gives oversight great joy. Look at 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4. Quick. Yes. I have no greater joy. Let's read it together. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It's so important. God wants his children to walk in truth. And faithful oversight have the heart of God. They're watching out for God's purpose. They don't necessarily want things from you. They want to see God in you. When you give them things, then it's with that. It's first the life. It has meaning. Thank you, mommy. It has meaning because it's like they know that it's coming from the heart. It's not something that you are giving to silence them. It's not something that you are giving to curry their favor or to salve your conscience. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. So it's really important. So I've seen sometimes one of us, I would say, no, don't, this is not the time for this gift. And people can't understand. God wants your heart. The altar sanctifies the gift. If your heart is not in it, why are you giving it? It's a big question. And my mommy says, sometimes you need to salve your conscience. You are giving sacrifice instead of obedience. Let me just give God this one. Give it. But when you know, you can give it to God in the offering. As far as you are concerned, God has received it. We know of people that steal and that give tithes in church. and people, nobody asked them, where did you, how are you giving it? How are you giving a tithe of multi-millions? Where did you get the money from? Nobody asked them. But when you give a human being and the person says, no, this is not correct, it shakes you to your roots. And that's what God wants. Because many times we say, God, 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 but you know, God is talking, you can't hear him. You and him are not on the same frequency. But when you look at oversight and you relate with oversight, then you get an idea of how God is. And you can, it makes God more real. Rather than what you say he is, then he has a voice. You know, he has a shape. You know, and he can relate to him, you know, through them. You know, and that's what Paul was saying, that he is to you a faithful minister. And I really want to thank God for our spiritual parents in this house. You know, they have been faithful over 30 years. You know, and brethren, you know, we don't move around though. Thank God we don't move around. You know, but when you hear people talk and they're pastors, you wonder, oh God, thank you. Thank you. Because it's not of any man's doing. If not for the mercy and the grace of God and kind of the teaching and the oversight and the example, that we have the poplar rods that God has given us in the house. So we just give glory to God for our spiritual bread. And this is what this does. When you start walking in love, what it does is it positions you under the covering of your spiritual parents. Covering is the spiritual power that is coming from God through oversight for you. Now, that power, you know, you connect to it with your heart. And you, the connection of your heart, so you must have a right attitude towards oversight, but you must obey their instructions. The obedience acts and has an effect on your heart. Okay, and makes your heart more aligned towards God, and you are more open to more covering. Isn't it amazing that Samuel, Hophni, Phinehas were all in the same house? And Hophni and Phinehas were behaving recklessly, and their daddy was correcting them, and the more he corrected them, the more reckless they became. And the Bible says Samuel grew in the same house. In the same, in my father's house, there are many vessels in the same house. Some to honor, some to dishonor. God doesn't choose who is for honor and dishonor. It is the choice of the vessel. And that's what he's saying here. So once you start walking in truth, it positions you to, as it were, to receive even more covering. Bible says that, the parable of the talents, you know, the servant that was faithful with 10 talents, he said, they collected talent from the one person that was not faithful and gave it to the one that was faithful. Because God wants to see fruit. He has ordained us to bring forth much fruit. And the more fruit you be, then the more you're under oversight. So that's why when oversight see that you're walking in love, they're always praying, as you will see. But they now begin to pray more for you. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. Oversight are always praying. Mature, faithful oversight are always praying. So the power is always available. But the degree to which you enjoy is the degree to which you walk in the truth. The degree to which you walk and bring forth fruit. So the more fruit, the more covering. The more fruit, the more covering. Because as it were, you know, your heart is more better positioned to receive more life. So, and here it is here. Do not cease to pray for it and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the knowledge he's talking about there is very important knowledge. He's talking about epignosis. And what is epignosis? Epignosis is precise, exact knowledge. And that doesn't mean you know everything. But it means that you have, in principle, exact knowledge about the things of God. And God teaches those things through oversight. That is why their ministry in our lives is extremely important. They are the foundation. They lay the foundation. as it were. So you have that precise, exact knowledge in several areas. You need it in several areas. That's why he talks about knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's go to verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God has a way, a wisdom for every area of our lives. He didn't leave us in darkness as to how to live our lives. He has a prototype, and it's the fathers that give us that prototype. So it's extremely important that we understand that. Know that, you know, that God has that picture for us through oversight. Now, of course, you know, not all oversight is like this. And it's important to mention that God is changing the kingship in the church from Saul to David, and the priesthood from Eli to Samuel. It's important to mention that. And this is important. Look at Ezekiel chapter 44. And we're reading from verse 10. Ezekiel 44. Thank you. Right, let's read it. And the Levites that are gone away, far from me. It's not just gone away. Far from me. When Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Thank you, sir. Pastor says this is happening now. They shall bear the next verse. They went astray with the people. They followed the people astray. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary. Isn't that strange? They are retired, but they are still serving. Having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. Next verse. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore I have lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. Next verse. And they shall not come now unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of the holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Next verse. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. Activity. Next verse. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. Next verse. So we have two categories of priests. Not all pastors are pastors. They shall enter into my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. Verse 23 and 24. Thank you. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Next verse. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Verse 28. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. Brethren, There are Levites and there are Levites. There are pastors and there are pastors. They are not the same. They are not the same. There are some that minister to God and then come from God to minister to you. And there are some that minister to you from the idols that are in their heart. And they minister only to the house. God is not talking to them. God has... God said... He puts his hand and says, stop! Stay up and off. And they will be doing work and service. And they don't know. No, that's why correction is so beautiful, brethren. Because a stitch in time saves nine. As far as God is concerned, see, God's ultimate purpose is to make us like Him. That's our inheritance. God doesn't use people. He makes people into Christ and rewards them with a full reward. God doesn't, but when you are forward, then God will respond forward. But God's initial belief is everybody is pure. So God is pure. And so, but when you insist on doing things your own way, you insist on being rebellious, you are stubborn, you are covetous, and you keep doing it, and you are leading people astray. And because of what you want to eat, then God will keep you afar off and just leave you where you are. And you will be thinking you are serving God. Bible says, haven't you prophesied in your name? Yes. So God has used them. So for Christ's sake, God, as far as God is concerned, Christ is being preached. Whether it's for good or for, whether it's from conversion, at least the gospel is going on. And when children of Israel, when people of God grow, when they hear the correcting, they will leave them and separate themselves from them. But no, that's what God. And it's very, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5. This encapsulates it. You know, you can say, oh, this is Old Testament, but look at it in the New Testament. It says, perverse disputings of men of what? Corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. God is not talking to them. No word. Clouds without rain, plucked up from the root, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. Brethren, these are people we should not be listening to. Assemblies we should not be attending. It is extremely important. Because look at what God said. Corrupt minds. Why did he use them? We're talking about corruption, corruption. It's corrupt. It's coming from the church. Corrupt. Their minds are corrupt. It's not pure. It's not pure. Their hearts. And so God can use it. God can use. So God has to just put them on the side and let them keep doing what they enjoy doing. And then raise up a Samuel and keep using them, but never make them. Thank you, Mommy. 1 Timothy 6:5 Amplified. And protracted wrangling and wearing discussion and perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of beautiful. From such, withdraw. Doesn't get any clearer. It's amplified. Being a pastor is not a money-making business. It's not a means of livelihood. The souls of men are... May God have mercy in Jesus' name. Anyway, brethren, at least this much we see. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17 is very important that we understand what God is saying to us. So what is God saying to us? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So God wants to receive. But it means this is bad company. Don't go along this way. Don't go along this road. We will not go along that road in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's move on. All right, so we saw that, as we were saying, that, you know, covering is important, provides for us, you know, divine protection. Covering also improves the quality of our hearts, you know, by allowing judgment to come. You know, when you're doing the wrong thing, you know, God, Bible says chastening, you know, God chastens us so that we can change. And once we change and our hearts are corrected, then the same covering brings blessing. So, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, covering the multitude of sins, which are the sins of omission. And covering also gives us epignosis, that is precise, exact knowledge in all areas. Knowledge of, and Pastor has written beautiful, towards the end of last year, into this year, beautiful weekly remnants, you know, on that. Now, I really strongly advise that you look at it, know precise, exact knowledge of who God is. Precise, exact knowledge of the love of God. Know what are these things in principle. Now, as we grow, going back to Colossians chapter 1, in verse 9, you know, yeah, look at that. Okay, with the knowledge of, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, know, next verse, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. How can you have knowledge and yet be increasing in knowledge? If you have complete, exact knowledge, you know, in principle, that's what he's saying here, that God gives you the principle through the fathers, and then as you act on it, you increase in the details of the principle. Amen. So that's why. So when you hear a message, it's not, oh, I've heard that before. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. Because the God is not, when your teacher is talking, you need to keep quiet and listen. Be meek and lowly in heart. Because he's giving you something that's going to be important down the road. In detail, it's going to be important. So when you put attention on it and you confess it and you meditate it, you practice it, you find that the situation comes your way and that word, a different detail, is ministered to you that enables you to walk in obedience and walk in wisdom and walk in love. Amen. And that's the will of God. So as you keep walking, in love, you keep walking in wisdom, you keep walking in love. Of course, we know that the love of God has three principal parts. Is motivated by wisdom. That's the principal thing. Of course, then it has compassion, and then it is backed by power. Compassion follows wisdom, and power backs what compassion is doing. So love is those three things together. And so, when the power comes, you keep walking in that love, you know, in different areas. You know, the epignosis of prosperity, epignosis of healing, you know, epignosis, different things, epignosis of integrity, you know, how to walk, you do your work in business, relationships, every aspect of our lives, relating with our families, you know, your workmates. And God has a manual, as it were, that you can actually learn from and apply in every area of your life. So you're not left to using your own ideas and using your own imagination and just doing things the way you want to do them. You do them in line with the truth that God has given you. And then you become rooted and grounded in truth, which is actually what God is looking for to do in our lives. And so you see that there is a trend here. And I want to submit it to the fathers and also give it to you. That, you know, heart submission and obedience brings growth and spiritual strength. Look at it in verse 10. Okay? Walking, I might walk with the love unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You know, that fruitful there is God making you. You bring forth fruit as you relate with your children, as you relate with your husband and wife, if you're married, as you relate with your classmates, you bring forth fruit. You are supposed to. Everything you do is supposed to be as an opportunity to bring forth fruit. Everything. It's not so much about that thing alone. It's about the fact that I want to glorify God in this thing I'm doing. I want to do it the way God would have done it. I want to do it the way my spiritual parents would have done it. And that desire is what it makes you fruitful in every good work. So you do the good work and you do it well. And then in addition, you get fruit on the inside. That's what God says. And then you increase the details of the details of the knowledge of God. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. What is he talking about here? As you walk in love, in the truth, in obedience, they are all the same thing. You find out that God gives you strength. You grow and you have the spiritual strength, as it were. You increase in spiritual strength in every area. So you are not just strong in prayer. You are strong in obedience. You are strong in prosperity. You are strong. You are strong in every area. You are built upon the rock in every area of your life. Amen. According to God. And what gives you that strength is the power of God. The love of God is the power of God. Love of God is the wisdom. Love has wisdom, compassion, and power. So the more you walk in love, guess what? The more wisdom you have. Amen. The more compassion you have. The more power you have. So that power is, so this is more like capacity. Your capacity increases. Your spirit man begins to grow. Your soul begins to grow. Amen. And you are becoming more conformed to the image of Jesus. And he tells us this, unto all patience and long suffering. Look at this. This place is full of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering is the fruit of the Spirit. Joyfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, it's important. One thing I just saw here is that, you know, joy is a barometer of how much of the fruit of the Spirit you're walking in. Absolutely. How much joy do you have? Is your joy determined by circumstances? Are you low on joy? It is a key barometer. Because joy makes you content. Joy is a fruit. It's a force. It's a consequence of walking in obedience with the right attitude. You can't get it any other way. So if you have it, you must be doing something correctly. And when you have it, you know it's there, rock solid. It just makes you steadfast, unshakable. When anything comes, you know, my God is going to be faithful. That thing is there, rock solid on the inside. And I wanted to just share from Anna's example. How many remember Anna, the mother of Samuel? Want to look at her life as we round up to just see how we can walk, how you can come from a place where you don't have joy, and you can walk and acquire joy. Amen. Look, before the answer comes. Thank you so much, sir. Wow, that's from the fathers. That's so true, sir. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Of course, we know the story. She's the, well, one of two wives. There's Peninnah and there's Anna. Verse 8. We're going to verse 8. Okay. Right. So Elkanah, go to the previous verse. No, okay, verse 8, thank you. Well, we know the story. Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Anna, and Anna had no children yet, and Peninnah had, you know, and every time Peninnah used to, you know, drive the point home, all right, good. Then, and Anna wasn't, and she went to God, and she was, so you get the picture, and everyone else can identify with that at one level or the other. In here is about children, but it can be anything else. Amen. Fine, so we go ahead. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to Anna, why weepest thou? So she was sad. Joyful people don't weep. All right? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Is your heart grieved? Why? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? What is your perspective about life? Is it about what you don't have yet? And you are missing what you have. What you have is right there. Elkanah said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Am I not better to you? Why don't you look at the positives? Why is your perspective in that area? The one that he has not done. The one that he has not done. The one that he has not done. What about the one that he has done? Thank you, Jesus. Next verse. So Anna rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Next verse. And she was in, everybody let's say it together, bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Notice she was praying, but she still had no joy. So if prayer could have given joy, it's not prayer alone, is my point. It's not prayer alone. Okay? Now look at verse 11. And she did what? Vowed a vow. And said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. God listened. Next verse. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Notice that she keyed in into the purpose of God. God has a purpose on the earth. And when you align your heart with God's purpose, then you allow God, you position yourself as it were, in the purpose of God. And you allow things to begin to work together for you, for your good. Bible says all things work together for good for them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That's what Anna did. God had a purpose. There was a priesthood that was in tatters spiritually. Only form, no power. And God was like, Kai, what am I going to do? I need a man. And his sons were misbehaving. And then this woman just keyed in by the Holy Spirit. God just helped her. But what, you know, we can do the same. You can look at the purpose of God for now. God wants to manifest his glory on the earth. It's more than your career ambition. It's more than you having children. It's more than you having a house all over the place. It's more than you having a private jet. It's more. And as far as God is concerned, that purpose is primary. Of course, he loves us. Don't misunderstand me. But he also has needs. Love is two-way. So God, when you begin to align with God's purpose, it strikes his attention. And God says, hey, really? And she just said it by the Spirit. And said, you will? And she submitted to it. What she was looking for, she was already telling God that if you give me, I'll give it back to you. That's not normal. That's a spiritual alignment. So she aligned with the purpose of God. And when she did that, guess what happened? You know, there was... That's next verse, verse 12 and 13. Yes, Eli marked him out. Next, verse 13. Now Anna, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Notice that the intercession got deeper. She had been praying before, but this time, she was really praying. You know, and that reminds us of what Pastor always teaches us. When you're praying, your mind can't be everywhere. Your mind has to be in your prayer. And your thoughts are a means of communion with God. And there are things going on. So you can, you are moving as your prayer. For Anna, there was less noise and more depth in intercession.
There was less noise. There was no noise. Her lips were not moving anymore, but at a thought level. Her lips were moving just like, no, but the sound, there was not so much sound, but there was power. Why was the power? Because of the alignment of the heart. She had aligned her heart. She was submitted to God. So guess what? Power was flowing. Prayer is not about noise, brethren. It's about heart alignment. In your mind, you're thinking about Nigeria. We're praying about Nigeria. And you're allowing God to organize and lead your thoughts along the way. You understand? And then you find that more power will be coming out. Okay? That's very important. Okay? So right attitude improves our depth in intercession. Less noise. And notice that there was more joy. How do you know that? That there was, because there was more life. Life was flowing. And joy is in the life of God. Amen. And look at, so there was a provocation. Eli thought that she had been drunk. Verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. That's a provocation. Somebody who's already angry. Somebody who's already bitter. That she's in a situation. And then you go on. I mean, brethren, let's be real. I mean, sometimes you step on people's toes when they're upset. And you didn't know, and you walk straight into it. You know, I mean, they give you a piece of their regenerate mind. So, I mean, I didn't know. So, you know, so you can imagine, this is Eli. God is allowing Eli to test. You know, God allows oversight to test you sometimes. You think you're somewhere. You think you're this big hot rod spiritually. And then they correct you. Or they give you an instruction. You know. And, you know, it's a true test of how spiritual you really are. The way you respond. Do you take offense? How quick does it take you to obey? Very important. These are important things, just by the way. But you can see that this was a provocation that could have affected her response. Look at her response. Verse 15. And Anna answered and said, no, my Lord. She answered in an even tone. With respect. No, my Lord. Giving honor to honor. That's the right attitude right there. That's not someone who's bitterness of soul. And guess what? The sun hasn't come. Like Pastor pointed out. He has not yet come. So you don't have to get what you have before you have joy. Before you have the right attitude. You can have the right attitude even before what you desire from God comes. You must. That's what she's showing us. That I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Saying it matter of factly. As if she's not the person involved. Okay, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaints and grief have I spoken hitherto. Next verse. And Eli answered, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Look at the importance of joy. Right attitude. Submission. Is that attitude that was the key? Our attitudes are key, O brethren. Keep thine heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Once life started flowing, joy started flowing. And you could see her response changed. Look at the next verse. Eli sealed it as the high priest. Amen. Verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. What is grace? Life. Favor. Amen. So the woman went away and did eat. The Bible is very precise. She wasn't eating before. She did eat. She had a good appetite. And her countenance was no more sad. That's the fruit of joy. Brethren, we need to work on our attitudes. Keep your attitude. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Don't blame the situation. You can be in that situation with the correct attitude. Because you are in contact with God. And you have a right attitude. Amen. One with God is a majority. With the right attitude, you can overcome anything. Let us pray.
God bless you, Pastor Conley. Hallelujah. What a word. I really was blessed by that exposition using Hannah as an example. That's why the Bible was written, you know. It was used Old Testament. Somebody said the New Testament is in the Old concealed. And the Old is in the New revealed. The two are intricately interwoven. And that's why you have to, that's why it says all scripture, all, not some, all scripture. And here in this beautiful example, we see Hannah, you know, and her attitude initially was wrong, bitter. But she went to God and began to pour out her soul to God. But instead of focusing on her own, what she wanted, she now changed the focus from what she wanted to God's purpose and said, God, if you will do this, I make a vow, I will give the boy back to you. It's the same thing Abraham did on the mountain and gave Isaac. It's the same thing in principle, you know. And once that attitude changed, you know, like Pastor Conley has so beautifully brought out, you know, life and joy. And I think the thing there that really captured my attention is as her countenance was no longer sad. What changed her countenance? Not the answer. The answer hadn't come. She hadn't taken in. She was still in the same place. Her attitude changed. She was in the same location. The only difference was maybe an hour or a few minutes. An hour earlier, she was bitter. Within the hour, I'm just, you know, approximating, of the time she'd been in prayer and the prophet, you know, and the priest spoke to her and everything, you know, nothing had changed in the natural. She hadn't even left the place of prayer. As she now left and went, you know, went home and all of that, it says her countenance was no longer sad. Yet nothing had happened. That's true faith. That is true faith. Trusting God without initial physical evidence. God, you said it, so I'm settled. And now I'm not, you know, and she made her vow to the Lord. And so that this is of critical importance to us, dearly beloved. Our attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Her attitude towards the man of God. When the man of God, you know, suggested that she was drunk, she could have gotten angry. Say, I'm not drunk. Oh yeah, I'm here praying. How can you be saying I'm drunk? You know, that's the attitude of many people. They would have gotten angry and missed her blessing. Because the blessing was hidden in the covering that the man of God gave. She had prayed though, but then the man of God now added it. Because of his position of authority, he says, and the God of Israel will grant your request. She had prayed. But then when she now aligned with the right attitude, and the man of God now added, that's why I say covering does not substitute for your prayer. It's a supplement. It's a complement. So what happened was that God complemented her prayer with Samuel's, you know, he was high priest. Eli was high priest at that time in Israel. So his word, even though he was in a half backslidden condition, you see, we have so many things to learn. We have so, you know, this man was in his, he was in the office. The mantle was on him, irrespective of his own, what he was doing. And she needed that extra covering. She needed extra to add to her prayer to get the breakthrough. If she had had after, is it not this Eli that his sons are fornicating all over? Am I dama hello, Jerry? Should I just cut herself off from her blessing? To further cement this point, and we're going to pray in a minute, it is this. Remember Saul and David. It was what Saul said. Saul was backslidden. An evil spirit from the Lord was troubling Saul. It was the anointing on David that was refreshing Saul. Yet, after David had run away and was running, and Saul was trying to kill him, you know, and he tried to kill him so many times, and Saul fell into his hands, you know, and David, the attitude, he said, this is my master. He said, who would touch the Lord's anointed and be scot-free and be guiltless? Even though Saul was, this, may God help us to understand. If you can pass this course, attitude 101, 201, and 301. Are you listening to me? Attitude, maintain right attitude under provocation. David's case was even worse than Anna's case. This was a man trying to kill him. Yet he refused to allow his attitude to change. He said, how can I do this to my master? The Lord's anointed, even though Saul was no longer anointed. He was still in the position as king. May God help us to understand. He was still king. God was going to change him, but at that time, he was still king. And it was important that David's attitude towards the position of authority remain right. And David understood it. He said, nobody will do anything against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. Say, you sons of Zeruiah, you are too hard for me. They said, I will strike him but once. He said, this day has the Lord delivered thine enemy into thy hands. And it was a deep sleep from the Lord. God is always testing us. It was a deep sleep from the Lord that made Saul sleep. But the point I want to make is this. When David keyed into the right thing, when Saul woke up, and David was on the other side, and said, you know, he called him my father, he had no right to be called father. David, not only that, like I always say, you know, the Yorubas and the Hebrews, we have so much in common. The Bible says he fell on his face. And to a man who has no right, a man who has been trying to kill him, attitude is so important, brethren. He still fell on his face and said, my father, my father. They told you I want to kill you. They are telling lies and all of that. He said, look at your water bottle. I got it from your side. If I wanted to kill you, I would have killed you. You know what Saul said? My son David, now I know that you will be king. That word had to come from Saul. Saul had to release that word. Watch this. Even though Samuel had anointed him as king, 13, 14 years before, the king in position had to still open his mouth. And it was only then, it was shortly after that, went to Ziklag, came back, Saul died, and then he became king. He would have lost his destiny had he killed Saul, even though justifiably. Attitude is everything. Attitude is Samuel, Sila, Eli had to add this thing to Anna's prayer. Saul had to add his position of authority, his covering to David's desire to be king, even though Samuel the prophet had pronounced it. There is something about authority that God does not play with. And I've learned, and I'm still learning, my wife and I, over the years. I've been a Christian and I've been a minister. I've had relationships with all kinds of people, with all kinds of situations. One of my friends was telling me something some months ago. I won't mention the person's name. You know, he did something I was not able to be around, you know. And, you know, so when I got back, God said, go and see him. Go and honor him. So I went. He was shocked. Ah! He said, OJ. He said, this thing means more to me than a million naira. That you came to my house. I said, I just came just to bless you. And they go, there's so many things we didn't agree on. So many things in the past that we didn't agree on. Even up till now. And he said, that's one thing about you, Sha. You always walk in love. He said, no matter. He said, that's one thing about you. I did this, you know, this was quite some months ago. You know, he was so touched that I just... And it was God. God told me, he said, it doesn't matter how. Whether you agree or you don't agree, or whether you like what he said or you don't like what he said, whether you are right or whether you are wrong. He said, have the right attitude. He said, go and bless him. It is a key we must all learn. Learn that thing. Don't judge people on whether they are right or whether they are wrong. Ask, what is the right thing to do? Ask the question, what will God do? Thank you, darling. He that knoweth to do good. You know, it would have been seen to me. You would know. If I knew to do that good and I didn't go and honor that man, God said, you are not around. Make sure you go and see him. So he doesn't have any wrong feeling. He told me, he said, OJ, you're coming today. He said, it means to me more than a million naira. He said, in my house? He didn't expect me to come. He didn't think I would even, you know, countenance, you know. And I didn't give him money. I just got there, spent a few minutes, called him and his wife, prayed with them and blessed them. And I left. And it was from the heart. He knew it was from, because there was nothing I went to gain. I didn't go to gain anything. I didn't go to. Last thing I'm going to say, and we have to pray. That scripture in 1 Timothy 6:5 that mommy told Pastor Kunle to read from the Amplified Bible. There was the end of it. Pastor Kunle mentioned it, but I just want to amplify it. You know, protracted wrangling and wearing discussion and perpetual friction. You would think God was around today. Of men who are corrupted in mind, bereft of the truth, who imagine, and this is so common in the church today. Thank God, Pastor Kunle, for that thing you brought from Ezekiel. It's been a long time I read it. It is a prophetic present truth. It's what is happening. Today the church has gone astray. And they are following their leaders, the idols. Idolatry in the New Testament is covetousness. And here, Paul captures it by the Holy Spirit. He says, imagine that godliness or righteousness is a what? So that is exactly what they see it as. A money-making business. A means of livelihood. I'm going to close with this. It is not Olubi who said this. It is the Bible. Withdraw thyself. He says, from such, withdraw yourself. It reminds me of Revelation. Come out of her, my people. Babylon, same thing. Lest you be. God is telling you. And if you're watching this on television or you're watching it on YouTube, I'm not preaching personalities here. The church you are going to, or the man you are listening to, if they fit this description, God does not condemn personalities. It's just principles. If they fit this description, and the one in Ezekiel chapter 44, if they are ministering to the house, but they are not ministering to the Lord, if they are not giving the fat and the blood just means the well-refined, a feast of fat things. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about good treasure, The Bible says, if they don't, then withdraw thyself. Who? I'm going to close. If you don't withdraw yourself, if you know to do good, and you don't do it, to you, it is sin. Let us pray. Attitude. Yes, darling.
Thank you for the word, Pastor Kunle. Absolutely good. Pastor, thank you for the amplification. They've spoken about authority. But I have a scripture that's joining in my heart, and I think we need to add this to it too. Proverbs 17:13. Whosoever rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. That is one of the reasons why Hannah could not have been rude to the high priest and get away with it.
Hey! Absolutely.
And David could not have been. Because they have partaken of the grace of God, whether they knew it or not. And also amongst ourselves, that your boss may not be a born again Christian. But have you partaken of blessings of God from his life? And from the company? Has he been a blessing of some sort in your life? That neighbor, has he blessed you? Let's think. You know, when we begin to walk, barefooted priestly walk and ministry, it helps us. Whosoever rewarded evil for good, automatically you make yourself cursed. Because the Bible says evil shall not depart from the person's house. And now you are wondering why things are not happening. That's why David said, who will touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? This scripture, we need to walk in it. Many of us, you say, so what? And you know Yorubas have it too. One to ba jekwe yon. To jeyo yon. To sheikafu. Kino man sosa. To ba di jekwe yon. To joy yo eyan to je ogun eyan to tun lo se ka fun ma ojo ohun kini yen mi ma
oje ewo
please I want us to do to tapik it
so
Bible
Eni to ba je epo eyan to je yo eyan to tun soro eburuku o je ewo, that is he has eaten majele poison, a curse, abomination.
Thank you, sir. You can imagine. So it, you know, it, the Bible is real. This has not even got anything to do with revelation of the word now. This is something that they are saying, that if you have eaten somebody's salt and even saved somebody's, and then you do evil, you even speak, Papa, if he said speak evil, not even graduate to do evil, you have put on yourself majebu, majele, is a curse, abomination. Brethren, let us walk away from these things. There's blessing all around, but yet our lives seem to be dry. We need to begin to examine our days, our ourselves in these days of new beginnings and say, why is every other person around me being blessed in the same house? And I am dry. Peradventure, there are some things I'm doing, I'm not doing quite right. Attitudes. See Anna. See David. And then see this. And I pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us. And grant us great grace to enjoy all the blessings that God has for us. And to help our heart's attitude such that God himself will be pleased with us. And all the inheritance that God has for us, we will be fed with it and we will inherit it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Put your hand on your heart. We're going to pray. This word requires a response. We're going to pray in a minute. But you as an individual, I just want you to pray. You've heard. The word is clear. It's explicit. Attitude. See the attitude of that woman. Hannah. And many of us are not even going through half of what Hannah went through. Another thing Pastor Kunle said, which I think is beautiful, is stop focusing on how the thing God has not done and be grateful for what God has done. He said, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And incidentally, it was the husband that through whom the child will come. Without Elkanah, will there be any Samuel? So instead of, God has not done this, God has not done that, God has not done this, why don't you thank God for what God has done? And be grateful and say, Father, I thank you. I'm so grateful. Even if one doesn't even happen, the one you've done is even enough. I thank you. And my attitude will not change whether this other one comes or not. That's a place to get to in God. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe that thing will come, it will come. But what I'm trying to say is that you need to get to a place in God where my heart loyalty and attitude to you is not going to be based on whether you do this or you don't do that. What you have already done is enough. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, God, my loyalty, the loyalty of my heart will not change because of things. Will not change because whether it happens or it doesn't happen or happens as quickly as I, you are still God. And you've already done so much for me. You are better to me than 10 sons. God can be in the place of Elkanah to us. It hasn't happened yet, but is God not better to you than that thing? And that thing you want, is it not God who's going to give it to you anyway? Is it not through Elkanah, Hannah would have the child? So if I can't take joy out of having Elkanah, then how can I put the joy of the child that has not yet been born above the joy of the man that I already have? How can I put the joy of what I'm asking God for above the joy of having the God who is going to give it? That's the question. Tell God, I appreciate you. In your heart, say, God, you are better to me than anything. 10 sons, the car, the house, the office, whatever it is, the visa, whatever it is you are, that thing has been disturbing you, and now your heart is sad, and you don't have any. Even God's presence can't give you joy because that thing hasn't happened. Repent of that now. God, you are better to be than that thing I'm asking you for. Whether it comes or not, I'm going to celebrate your presence and your faithfulness to me. No matter what happens. Thank you. Thank you. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we cling with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come this morning through your servant, showing me that I have to put you on a higher priority in my heart than whatever it is I'm asking you to give me. Lord, my joy comes from my relationship with you, from your presence in my life, rather than from the things that you give me. Oh God. Oh God, I pledge anew now the loyalty of my heart to you first and primarily above any other thing. Things that I'm believing you for, Father, whether they come now or whether they are delayed, will not change my heart and my attitude and my loyalty to you, because it is in you I live, I move, and I have my being. It is you anyway that's going to give me all of these things. So my joy and my contentment comes from having you in my life. I love you, Lord. I say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know you will not slay me. Your thoughts towards me are thoughts of good and thoughts are not of evil. But Lord, I'm saying it now in the congregation of your people that I have vowed my heart will not change. I will love you. I will serve you whether things come or not. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashaka. Lipiki tufriniga talama sheke. Tufrininga sofre. Lupriki toshke fridengas. Lupriga shokato. Lambrakatoshk. Likredalas, Tufrides, Zefredeles, Nufrides, Tulomas, Tufridisk, Tulomas Tufres, Taras. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. We're in a time where the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole generally, has strayed. Idolatry fills the land. New Testament idolatry. I did not write, Olubi Johnson did not write the Bible. This is not my interpretation. Is covetousness. It is pervasive. The medical people will say this word, it is endemic. It's practically everywhere. It has spread to the whole length. It's like a cancer. And breadth of the whole church. Yet, why would God allow this kind of thing? Some preach Christ for the right reason. Some preach Christ for the wrong reason. Nevertheless, Christ. That's the secret. That's why God allows it. He's going to make a separation now. As the glory of God comes to the church, it's going to come with recompense and it's going to come with reward. But as I speak this afternoon, this morning, this is the present situation of the church. There are those that minister to the house, there are those that minister to the Lord, there are those that have gone astray with their idols, and there are those who have refused to compromise. And it costs us. It's costing us something. It costs you. God is checking the heart. When you go anywhere, you put on the television, you are reading something, you hear something, judge it by these standards. Judge it by these standards. Ask yourself, is this the son of Zadok? Or is it of the Levites that have gone astray? Means they minister to the house. House is the church. They don't minister to the devil. It's the church. They minister to the house. But they do not minister the fat and the blood. Once you see that, carry your bag. withdraw. The day of judgment is upon us. God, there's a reason why the Holy Ghost brought this thing out this morning. He's emphasizing it like this. He's not coming, he's here. As I'm talking now, the church has gone majority, not everybody, but a majority. Covetousness rules the land, rules the hearts. And they minister to the house after their idols. There's only a very small number that of the sons of Zadok that are ministering to the Lord. It's a reality. Be warned. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. God bless you. Pastor.